Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, are you guys ready to get into the Word? You better get out your Bible this morning. All right. We are starting to wrap up our Elephant in the Room series, and if you haven't been with us this whole time, we have been talking about topics that nobody wants to talk about. It's been so much fun. I still have a list this long of topics that we could have talked about, and I decided I did not want to talk about them. So I just want to put this out there. If there is a topic that is hard to talk about, that you're dealing with or someone you know is dealing with, and you're like, man, I just wish they would have preached about it, listen, some topics are better discussed over coffee, all right? And that's okay. So listen, if there is a challenge you're facing or there is a question that is on your mind that just seems like an elephant in your faith, don't just sit on it. Don't be embarrassed by it. Come to me. Let's talk about it. I have resources. I've been doing a lot of research and searching the scripture for various elephants, but we just didn't talk about all of them. So I would love to talk with you about it, all right? So please don't be shy. But that being said, we're going to hit the mother of all elephants this morning, and I'll tell you what that is in a second here. But before I do, I just wanted to reintroduce you to Jesus. Is that okay this morning? Is that a helicopter? You hear that? I said reintroduce you to Jesus. I thought Jesus was coming back for a second. That low bass. All right. So I just want to reintroduce you to Jesus here, and I'm going to read a couple descriptions of who Jesus is in the Bible. Now, by no means is this limiting who Jesus is, okay? But sometimes I think that we get stuck in our mind a picture of who Jesus is, and maybe it is who Jesus is, but it's just a little sliver of all of who he is, or maybe it's not who he is at all, and it's an image that's been put in our mind by some experience we had, and we aren't actually believing the truth about who God is, all right? So wherever you find yourself, or maybe you don't even know who Jesus is this morning, and I want to introduce you to Jesus as well, all right? So Jesus is a Savior who leaves the 99 for the one. And listen, as I'm describing Jesus to you, if that's who Jesus needs to be to you today, just open up your hands or put your hand on your heart or whatever you want to do and just receive him again, all right? I'm not saying you got to get saved again, but just receive Jesus for who he is to you today in the way you need him to be, all right? So Jesus is a Savior who leaves the 99 for the one. He is our healer. He is our restorer. He wants to be in relationship with us. He lived with us full of grace and truth. That's in John 1:14. He is peace. He is our counselor. Isaiah 9:6. His eyes are like flames of fire. His voice is like a roaring water. That's Revelation 1. But on earth, when he was walking around in the flesh, he didn't look like anything special or beautiful. That's Isaiah 53. He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. That's Hebrews 4. He healed all who were oppressed. That's Acts 10. He is faithful. That's 1 Thessalonians. And he did the will of the Father. John 4. Doesn't that just make you want to love him again? I don't know if that gets you excited. Brian and I have figured out that we have two different ways of processing things, so I get hyper and he goes silent. And if you ever put those two things together, you don't want to be in the kitchen sometime when we're all both going there. But after reading that, I wanted to jump up and down. I wanted to be in more of like a gospel church where we can get some organ going and clapping going and shouting going. So please feel free to shout during my message this morning. Don't fall asleep, please. If you are more of a quiet receiver, I don't judge you. That's totally fine. But if you aren't, please exercise your vocal cords, all right? Can we just do a clap offering for Jesus? Can we welcome him in this space? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I love the new song we sing. It says, Savior, Savior, the one you saved has come to worship you. And I think sometimes we get confused about why we're here or why there's all this music that sometimes sounds good. Sometimes there's sound issues. It doesn't sound good. Why are we here, right? We're here because the one you saved has come to worship you. Amen. So I encourage you, if you ever get distracted or confused about why you're here, and I don't just mean at church, but why you're on the planet, right? Just Google Bible verses that describe Jesus and then just spend some time meditating on them. You will not go wrong. You'll remember who you are because you'll remember whose you are. Amen? So we could all go home now, but I do have a message. So we're going to do an abbreviated version. All right. So we're going to talk about the mother of all elephants. And the reason we had to start by describing Jesus is because we don't want to worship this elephant. In fact, it's the reason that Jesus is our Savior. So we need to reintroduce ourselves to Jesus being our Savior so that this elephant can leave. All right? So today's elephant is, has anyone guessed? Sin. Bill. Do you want to preach it? It's sin. You're right. All right. So there are a lot of different definitions of sin. In fact, in the Bible, there are over 12, or there aren't over 12. There are 12, so over 10 if you want to say over, different words used for sin in the Bible, Old and New Testament combined. And the interesting thing is there's adjectives, there's verbs, and there's nouns. Anybody know that? So the problem is when we read it all as a noun or we read it all as a verb, because English is just so wonderful. Anybody ever love English? It's, oh my goodness. I can say I love my cat and I love my husband on my wedding day, and it's the same word. Has anybody, nobody's broken the code of English. I don't know why hasn't someone fixed that. But anyway, so in English, you don't know that, but there are different words used for sin, and they don't contradict each other. They never contradict each other. They're just different words, and so it's important when we're studying the Bible to understand that, because otherwise we'll take sin and we'll define our identity by it when actually the verse wasn't trying to define your identity by it, but trying to define an action that you do. Does that make sense? So it's important to realize this. And I encourage you, if you don't already, you can always look up Bible verses on BibleHub.com. And you can kind of look into the root words. Or you can, of course, get a commentary or however you want to do it. But I encourage you, if you aren't already doing that, taking your Bible study to the next level, going to the root word is fantastic. Especially if you have that kind of brain just to explore and research. So how I define sin, just a very simple overall general definition was anything we put before God and that God wants to obliterate. Everyone say obliterate. It's a really fun word to say in English. So anything we put before God is a sin God wants to obliterate. So sin is why Jesus is our Savior. It's why Jesus overcame. It's why our world is a mess. It's what breaks up our families, our lives, our past. It's what we're afraid to talk about as a church. I actually couldn't remember the last sermon that I mentioned, not that I mentioned sin, of course we mentioned it, but I hadn't preached on sin or heard about, that's a little bit bad, right? That's not okay exactly, right? I'm not saying we avoid it in this church, but sometimes it's good to preach on some elephants just to tackle them straight on. So if anyone isn't already feeling uncomfortable that I'm talking about sin, it's okay, we're all in the uncomfortable boat together, so please do not leave, all right? How many know, though, for every born-again believer, sin does not have the final say anymore? Amen. Sin has no power over you greater than Jesus. It is a choice and an action. It is no longer your identity, and it is forgiven in Jesus. When we get afraid to talk about it, we forget that we're born again and what it actually is to us now that we're born again. All right? And we actually can live out of the old covenant rather than the new covenant. Jesus died so that we would live out of the new covenant. So how many know that's a serious problem if his church is living out of the old covenant? I'm just going to leave it at that because we have Bill Vanderbush coming in September, like Pastor Caleb mentioned, and he, his whole life message is that teaching. So get really excited because he just blows your mind. He talks so fast, you have to like write a book while he's talking. So I'm getting there, right? But hopefully I won't ever talk fast. But so if we view pointing out and getting rid of sin as our goal, we will miss the point of the gospel. Have you ever thought that your goal in life is to point out sin in your life to try to get rid of it? Maybe not that logically, but sometimes I think I've thought that. But if we focus on the gospel, we will get rid of sin. You see it? This is where I think sometimes church gets messed up. If church focuses on sin instead of the gospel, what do you amplify? Oh, come to magnify the sin. Right? Nobody wants that worship song. But if we focus on sin, that's what we get. But if we focus on Jesus, we focus on relationship with him, there's no more room for sin. Amen? This is so important. Jesus didn't die on the cross for sin. He died on the cross for us to be saved through eternal relationship with him, which gets rid of sin. Amen? You follow? And if you're saying, well, what about the scriptures that said, like, Christ came to save us from sin? Yes, I'm not contradicting that word, okay? He came to set us free from sin. But Jesus didn't love sin. He loved you, right? That's what I'm trying to say. So please don't hear what I'm not saying. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This is interesting. It says, he bore our sins so that we would die to our sins. What does that tell us? There's an action Jesus took, and there's an action he asks us to take. And sometimes I think we just think that he took the action, which he did, but he's also saying now it's our turn to die to sin. Are you guys following? So just to do a little history here, if you didn't already know, priests in the Old Testament entered the tabernacle and first went to the brazen altar, it was called, with animal sacrifices, and they shed blood so that they got pardoned from sin for a year, and that was part of the priest's duty. So it says Jesus is our high priest, and he made the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. Amen? I absolutely love this quote from Bill Johnson. As Eve was taken from Adam's side when the Father took a rib and fashioned women, even so the bride of Christ was taken from Jesus' side when he was pierced with the spear. Ever thought about that? That's a painting. If I could paint it, I would. That wrecked me. If you don't remember anything else, just meditate on that, all right? So we're going to look at two definitions of sin, just real quick here. I know it's a spectacular day out, but it's a spectacular day in heaven, on earth, in this room too. All right, the first definition is wandering away from the path. Have you ever wandered away from what you're supposed to be doing? If you have a child, you know those little leashes that you like to harness around? I'm part of a group on Facebook, and it's mainly made up of a bunch of moms. A couple weeks ago, someone posted in this group, there are like 30,000 women in it, right? And this woman posted it, and she said, is it wrong to get a leash for my child? Is that okay? Or are people going to judge me? And all these moms, there's like, you know, hundreds of comments, like, no one's going to judge you if they've had a child. Just put the leash on the kid. You won't lose him and all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, so much things to look forward to, right? But how many wish that God could just put a leash on you, right? So that you're not wandering away. I don't know. I wish I could have a leash. Let me just put it that way, all right? Because it would just be nice. It would take some of the responsibility out of me, right? But God gave us a free will. He gave us choice. And sometimes that kind of sucks a little bit, right? Because that means we actually have a responsibility. Just say, I have a responsibility. I think we need to shout that a little bit more from our region a little bit. Jesus, have mercy on the church, right? We have a responsibility. So the first definition is wandering away from the path. Psalm 18:21 describes this beautifully. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. What I loved was one way of seeing this word also meant intoxicated. So it's like you're wandering away or swerving as if you're drunk. So it's like you get intoxicated by something in your life that isn't from God, and suddenly you can't see straight anymore and things aren't focused the way they need to be. Have you ever had that experience, right? That's a strong definition of sin, but I thought that was interesting. So I have a story to tell here, and it's fun having Brian in the room because he's not doing the teenagers today for Kids Sunday. And so this was back when we were dating, and we were in Cornell kind of exploring. There's not much to do in our area, so in the winter, you just get in a car and you drive, right? Anybody ever done that before gas was expensive? Now we just sit in the car, right, with it off. But anyway, so we were driving through Cornell, and, you know, there are all these little paths and all these mansions are like $20 million houses. So we're just like looking and Zillowing and dreaming, right? Not that we want the house, but it was just fun to look at. And there was this, you know, school building, beautiful big brick, fancy building. And there was a drive, like a path that went behind the building. We thought, well, this is cool. Let's go explore because we like doing off-roading in our car, which is probably why our car needs to be fixed sometimes. But so we go in the parking lot, and then we see this path, so we start driving. And this was actually when he had his car, which is the same as our car now, except it was standard, right? So I couldn't drive it ever. So we're driving. It's a very narrow road. It's a very narrow road. And there is a very big ravine on the right. I mean, there is no shoulder. But we start driving, and Brian's like, no, this is fun. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of cool. Where is it going? You know, I'm like trying to pull up Google Maps. So we're driving along, and then it just gets narrower and narrower. And we're like, is this a road? What is going on here? And so we're like, well, and then I start like sweating, because I'm like, we can't back up. Like, I'm not backing up with you. Like, we will go over the cliff. And we're literally saying, like, they're going to find us in the ravine, like, 2 days from now and wonder what the heck happened, right? Because I literally, if I open my door, my foot's off the ravine. Like, that's literally, I'm not exaggerating. So finally we figure out we're on a walking path. Anybody ever driven on a walking path? Do not recommend. How did we know this? Because up ahead there's a flight of stairs. Okay? This is not good. This is not okay. And I'm thinking we're going to get arrested, right? Because I'm like, I don't want to like disobey the law. We're going to get a ticket, or I don't even know what. Can we go to jail? Like, and so we see the stairs up ahead, and we're thinking like, what the heck do we do? Like, a tow truck can't get us out. What are we doing? So thank God there was like a little bike turnaround, you know, like little. And Brian, being the driver he is, was like, I got this. And I'm like, I couldn't get out of the car because I'm like, I cannot open the door. So he starts doing one of those like 1,000-point turns. I kid you not, like this. I don't know, like for like 10, 15 minutes. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was a long time. And he just goes like this and this. And I'm like sweating because I'm thinking, you know, we go over the edge into the falls or whatever. We go like this. Finally, we turn around, and then we have to go slowly back. And I'm thinking, my gosh, like the Cornell police are going to be, someone reported us. They saw like a car driving by, you know, anyway, so we make it out. Thank God. Now when we drive by there, we laugh and we cry a little bit. If anyone has questions of where that is, I'll tell you later. I can't tell you there's no name because it's not a road. All right. It's a walking path. But anyway, when we were there, we had two choices, right? Number one, we had the choice of driving upstairs. Mind you, they were not downstairs at the end. They were up. So what do you have? You have the choice on that small road that you were never designed to be on to try to drive up the stairs, defy gravity and the make and model of your car and every other thing that God put into the planet, right? For boundaries. Or to turn around. And I had to trust my husband's driving skills. I had to submit to his direction, right? I had to be humiliated. I had to endure embarrassment of coming out at the end, well, probably like some hikers with like all the hiking gear of Ithacans were wearing, right? And I had to let him lead me back to the road that we were designed to drive on. Anyone following the metaphor here? All right. That's what sin does. Sin, you wander away from the path you're on, and you end up on some path that you were never meant to be on. In fact, it's not even big enough for you to be on, right? And so some of us today might be like a semi on a walking path. Or we might be like a Toyota Matrix on a little hiking path in Cornell, about to get arrested by the Cornell police, right? I hope they don't like flag this Facebook video, right? And some of us today are exactly like that in our lives because we have turned away from what God intended for our lives. And I love this scripture. This has been our theme scripture for the past 2 months, Luke 12:3. And this is the scripture I actually had in a dream, because most of my sermon series ideas I get in dreams, or sometimes they come in dreams. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Luke 12:3. How many know there's no dead end that Jesus cannot save us from? Isn't that good? That's good, right? Praise God. But he invites us to do what when we hit a dead end? Anybody know what the Greek word turn back into the English word means of turn around? Repent, or metanoia, right? I think that's how that word goes. Repent. I love this. So let's see. Do I have a repent scripture here? My gosh, I didn't write a repent scripture down. All right. Did I not? Repent for the kingdom of God is here. I mean, just... we all know some repent scriptures. Of course, I did the whole definition without writing one down. But repent, right? So We are driving down the road in the wrong, going the wrong way in our life. Now, let's bring this home, all right? This might be in our marriage. It might be in your workplace. It might be with your kid. It might be with your finances. It might be with your health. It might, let's just go way back to like a 140-foot view, or 140,000-foot view, maybe that's better. It might be your attitude. It might be how you're thinking. It might be how you're treating yourself or how you're treating other people, your actions. Some of us are hitting dead ends, and we're wondering, why do I keep going back to the same place? And it's because you have never repented. You have never turned around and let Jesus guide you back to where you're supposed to be. Does this make sense? This is important because we can preach forgiveness all day long, but Jesus always said, you're forgiven and repent. They go hand in hand, and it's so important. Because he died for our sins, and then he invites us to die to our sin and repent. Amen. We're not striving for forgiveness. Forgiveness is a free gift. Don't hear that in what I'm saying. But there is an action that we are invited to participate in with Jesus, and it's called repentance. All right? So that's number one. Number two is to miss the mark. Now, did anyone bring me a target, or did I just get a bunch of bows? I just got a bunch of bows. Oh, dear. Brian, oh, I thought he was going to be my target. I was like, we didn't have that bad a fight yesterday. Nobody laughed. That was horrible. Oh, dear. Okay, so I got a couple bow and arrows here. Don't worry, I'm not going to shoot it because I literally cannot pull this back. I'm just not strong enough. I'm okay to boast in my weakness, like Paul said, I believe it is. But it goes kind of like this. And then you put a brace on, which I won't do because, again, I will just pull my arm muscle because I almost did this morning. And then you pull it back and you shoot. Okay? Now, let's pretend I have a sling on my arm and I'm trying to hit the mark. Okay? Am I going to hit it? Probably not, right? Maybe, but probably not. What if I try again but still have the sling? Am I going to hit it? Not likely, right? Well, what if I just try again? Will I hit it? Well, why not? This is getting aggravating. I'm working really hard at it. No? I have to get real close. Okay. Listen. Most of us, when we're sinning, and look, I know I'm using sin as a, I'm going general this morning. I'm not talking about a specific one. Pick your poison, right? I think we know. You kind of know when you're doing something that's not right with God, okay? And if you don't know, you know, talk to me or whatever. We can figure it out. But you know, gossip is an easy sin. Anybody ever gossiped? I'm going to gossip about all y'all not raising your hands this morning and confessing the truth. All right. That's an easy one. I feel like everybody talks about gossip. But how many know gossip can really destroy people? That is not a nice one at all. Not that there ever is a nice sin. But if I keep going at it with a sling on my arm, I'm never going to hit the mark. And why not? Because I never dealt with the root of why I'm missing the mark. Are you following me? Listen, I can, just as an example, I can smoke all day and decide to quit smoking, right? Because we're supposed to take care of our bodies because they're the temple of God. I can quit smoking and everyone can be like, wow, you quit smoking. And nobody sees the bottle of alcohol that you picked up instead. And then you're wondering, well, why did I pick up a bottle of alcohol if I quit smoking? Well, it's because you never fixed the brokenness that was causing you to miss the mark. Are you guys following? Listen, this gets driven home in relationships all the time. Have you ever felt like it's deja vu all over again when you're in a relationship? It doesn't have to be a romantic one. It could be a friendship or whatever it is. And you just end up, why do I keep going negative or accusing them? Or why do I keep ending up in the same pattern over and over again? It's because you never dealt with the reason that you're missing the mark. This is so important. Contrary to popular belief, the goal of the church is not to have behavior modification, but heart transformation. If you never let Jesus take off your sling, you'll just keep missing the mark. God is after your heart. He's after the reason you keep missing the mark. Anybody know the scripture? I've got it here. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with his heart. Anyone ever been freaked out by that scripture? I'm like, I'm not looking at anybody. We're not doing this, right? When you're a kid and you read that scripture, it will freak you out. If you grew up in the church, I'm just going to put that out there. Freaked me out, at least when I was a kid. But what is God saying here? Look, there are a lot of different ways to interpret that scripture accurately. But I see it as Jesus is after the root. He's saying, look, I don't even care about just your action. I care about the root of why you're thinking, what you're thinking, that will then lead you to an attitude that will then lead you to an action. And so often, if we just judge each other or judge ourselves by our actions, which is good, it's good to be aware of them. That's biblical, to look at your actions. But if you just stop there, you're going to keep missing the mark because you never go after the reason that you're broken and you can't fire the arrow correctly. You following me? So listen, today God wants to set you free from an area in your life where you keep missing the mark. And I'm not talking about perfection or performance, because the church isn't after behavior modification, it's after heart transformation, right? So I'm not saying that you have to be perfect and you're like, well, I'm not perfect, so I better be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you keep finding yourself in a destructive pattern that's hurting yourself or hurting others, God wants to say, let's rewind. Are you believing a lie about yourself? Are you believing a lie about who I made you to be or who I am? And where did that lie come in, right? It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're finding ourselves in a place that's destructive and that we're missing the mark over and over again in our relationships or whatever area it is in your life, it's because we aren't seeing Jesus for the truth. We're actually believing a lie. Are you guys following? Our heart posture and our thought life is just as important as our actions to him. All right, I'm going to start wrapping up here. I just know that on Kids Sunday, sometimes we can go a little bit late because they all look like they're having a blast out there. Oftentimes we say we want to be comfortable and then wonder why our lives aren't changed, and then we blame the church or we blame our boss and we blame the economy or we blame the culture when it's the thing that makes us comfortable is preventing us from growing and changing. Amen? Like we, you know, Brian and I, when we're married, and not all of us are called to be married or in that season, but for us, we are, and we're married, and sometimes when our marriage gets a little uncomfortable, we say, wait a minute, we want to go back to being comfortable because it feels safe. But sometimes God says, no, I want to make you uncomfortable so that you can grow, right? John 15:1-5, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. It doesn't say every branch that bears fruit, he gives to just chill and relax, right? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. I love that verse. If you're looking for a verse to meditate on, John 15 is a great one to do a Bible study on this week on your own time. But how many know that church isn't a spa with childcare or a golf course with childcare? Amen. I did not get a lot of amens. I know we want to go to the spa and we want to go to the golf course, but Sunday morning is not the time. Just a little news flash here. Don't go on Sunday morning. My goodness. It's more like an airport, right? Because the pastors are here to equip you to walk in your identity in Christ, walk in all the giftings that God gave you to your fullest potential so that you can impact those around you. That's why I'm here, right? And then we're also like a hospital, which I don't like to say because I don't like hospitals. I was going to be honest with you. My grandmother took a while to die when I was little, and I lived in the hospital for a while. So I'm like, huh, I don't like hospitals. I'll visit you. Don't worry. I will. I love you, but I just don't love the hospital. But when we look at it from a healthy spiritual place, the hospital is a safe place to let the love of God come in and transform you. But it is a vulnerable place, and it needs to be guarded and kept safe. That's why we have to not gossip, not judge, not shame in this church. It's very, very important because this is a place for growth. Amen? I love this scripture in Acts 3. I'm just going to start to close out here. Thanks for hanging in just a little bit longer with the dance and everything. I have a quote I'm trying to find in my roots. Hold on 1 second. can't find it, but I believe I wrote something along the lines of, the gospel is not a painkiller. The gospel is a heart surgery. It was something along those lines that God showed me this week. The gospel is not a painkiller. The gospel is a heart surgery. Why is that important? Because how many have ever broken your arm before? Okay, God bless you. My heart goes out to you. How many know if I got my broken arm and I'm trying to do the bow and arrow, right? And by the way, if you want to see a gorgeous bow and arrow, Judith brought a phenomenal one over there. It's a little more medieval, but I'm going all warlike. Since we did all these war songs today, I have to do this. So how many know if I have a broken arm, I can pop a couple pills, right? Listen, I'm not saying that if you have mental illness or something that you aren't need to do what you need to do, okay? Please don't hear that. But you can numb pain, right? You can numb pain and think that you fixed it and then end up more injured than not when you try and then do something. Anyone ever done that? Brian got a steroid when we were getting married. He thought he was all better, and then like a couple weeks and the steroid ran out. How many know that's not a good day for him and his back, right? So the gospel is not meant to numb our pain. It's meant to actually come into those painful areas, and Jesus gets in the dirt with you and says, let's work this out. It's a process, and Jesus isn't up there judging down, saying, oh, you missed the mark. He's saying, hey, child, you don't realize it, but your arm is broken. You don't realize that you learned that brokenness, or you got that brokenness when you were a kid, when your dad was screaming at you, and you haven't let me come in and heal that broken place, so you're just going to keep screaming at your kids. Does that make sense? If we don't let him fix our brokenness, we will keep living broken. So I'm going to end here with Acts 3:19. And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins, there's my repentance scripture, your sins will be removed or obliterated. That's a lot better word than removed. Obliterated. And so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. Just say the word refreshing. That word means a recovery of breath. Everyone take a deep breath. That good? Revival, and the root word of it, guess what it means? Comfort. Just in case anyone was like, I thought God was good. Why do I have to be uncomfortable? No. He gets to be your comfort. Okay? Let's not, you know, churches that preach like you're supposed to live uncomfortable. Well, yes, okay. But God is my comfort. When I let go of things that make me comfortable here, he becomes my strength. He becomes my comfort. But so that revival will come. A lot of us want to be refreshed. Who wants to live in revival? Who's been praying for revival for years? There are people in this church right now today that have been praying for revival for over, I don't know, maybe at least 30 years. Okay, you could do more, but I'm not aging anybody, including myself. So, been praying for revival for years and years and years. But it says you must repent, turn back to God, so that revival will come. Some of us are kind of dead-ended, and we're praying for revival. Keep praying for revival. Don't ever stop, please. It's not conditional like that. God isn't conditional like that, but he's unconditional love. But he does say, listen, you got to turn around. Revival might be right behind you, but you're facing the stairs on a walking path, right? How many have said, I want to get out of debt? You don't need to raise your hand, but I want to get out of debt. But you keep spending money that you don't have. How many have wanted to build muscle but won't exercise? Don't look at me. Don't judge me. We don't judge in this church. How many want to know Jesus but won't pick up your Bible? Or maybe you do pick up your Bible, but you don't live it out and love the one in front of you. How many want to have a healthy relationship or a friendship but won't be the first to forgive or grow? How many want your cake and eat it too? I feel like that should be over the kitchen of the church. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Somebody tell the church. I love Leonard Ravenhill. He says, God is one pent-up revival. Isn't that cool? God is one pent-up revival. Closer you get in God, the more he revives you. It's not because he wants to revive you. It's because he is the reviver. And when you get to know him, he can't help but be himself inside of you and through you. Amen? I also love this one other quote. by Vance Havner. What we call revival is simply New Testament Christianity, the saints going back to normal. We all are like, when do we go back to normal after 2020? God's like, church, when do you go back to normal? Like a couple thousand years ago. Hey, all the church is all freaking out. We're not going back to normal. God's up there, been there for thousands of years. He's saying someone's getting the point, right? Listen, why don't you stand on your feet? We are a sanctified church. Some of us in this church, if you just heard me say sanctified, if you had a religious background, you're freaking out. What is that? I'm saying, what was that song Pastor Nina used to sing? I'm sanctified, redeemed by the Lamb of God. I'm set free, sanctified by the Lamb of God. Right? Those were good days. Those were hard to sing again. But we are sanctified. Some of us, that's a churchy word. Some of that's a religious word. You're like, oh my gosh, sanctification. I got to get out of here. Right? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Sanctify means to make holy, treat as holy, set apart as holy, or purify. John 17:17. This is one of the last things that is recorded that Jesus prayed to his Father in the garden before he died on the cross. How many know that's an important conversation? What he said? He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And that word truth means reality. So one of the last things on Jesus' heart was you and me. And he was saying, God, give them your reality. Give them your reality. Purify them by your reality. So I want to end here. I'm just going to read Romans 5:20. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. Jesus is asking Father God to let his reality, his truth, set you apart. Instead of listening to other voices, he wants you to listen to his voice. And if you don't know any other way than to listen to God's voice, get into the Bible. Get into Romans this week. Romans, it's all about this. I barely touched it, but I mean, just get into it yourself. And I'm going to read this as a prayer to close here. Before I do this, I just want to make a little disclaimer. This is one of those disclaimers on like a toy box. This message today is not permission to point out each other's weaknesses or mistakes. It's a little disclaimer, little beep, 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 beep. This church is a safe place, and if you have any feedback for someone, you need to ask before you give it. And if you have a real concern, you need to come to a pastor first, all right? I just wanted to make sure. You preach on sin, and suddenly everyone's like, oh, I see your sin. And you totally are missing your sin, right? Like, this is not what this message was for. This message was to take a personal look at your life and say, am I dead-ending anywhere? Am I missing the mark? And do I have a broken arm? Do I have a brokenness that Jesus wants to come and heal in my life? Everyone say, my life. If everyone takes care of their life, the whole body grows. Amen? I just want to put that out there. So I'm going to close with this. I want to invite you. I'm going to read the 12 definitions, and it may be a little bit more than 12 because there are different root words and things like that if you're counting. I'm going to read the definitions of sin that is found in the Bible, and I'm going to read the definition, and then I'm going to read what Jesus did to be the solution. And there are a lot of different ways that this message could apply to us. So I want to invite you as I read this, and this is it. And we did go a little bit over, so thank you so much for bearing with me. But this is kind of the gospel, so I felt like we had to hit this one in full. Just when I read a word and it is what you're experiencing in an area of your life, I just want to invite you, and just everybody close your eyes, because again, this is between you and Jesus this morning. I want to invite you just to lift your hands or put your hand in your heart, whatever you're comfortable with, if you're okay with that. Because sometimes a physical action really matters. And I'm going to read what Jesus did to save you in that area. And even right now, Jesus, I thank you that right now you are in this space. Holy Spirit, it says you never leave us or forsake us. You are with us. And so, God, I thank you that you're still saving. You didn't stop saving. You didn't change who you are. And you're after the broken places. You're after the places in our lives where we're dead-ending or missing the mark right now. Not because we're striving, but because you came to be in relationship with us, and you can't help but save us when we let you in. You say you stand at the door and knock, God, and we don't want to keep you out in the cold or in the heat, depending on the weather, wherever you are, Jesus. We want to let you in so that we can be friends, just like that scripture says. So I'm going to read these definitions. I just invite you to invite God in. In any area of brokenness, he blesses you with healing right now. In any area that is blemished, he makes you spotless. In any area that you feel like you are missing the mark, the opposite of missing the mark in Greek is the word that is used for intercession when Jesus says, I stand before the Father praying for you. So any area where you're missing the mark, hear Jesus' prayers right now over your life. He's interceding day and night for you. Any area of evil, he is delivering you. Any area that is crooked, he is making narrow and straight. Any area that is distorted or twisted, he is bringing healing and peace. Any area where you are rebellious, he is welcoming you home. Any area that is desolate, he is your comfort. Any unjust area in your life, he is the King of Kings. Any area where you are swerving or feeling intoxicated and lost, he is your good shepherd. I want to leave you with this question. If God's judgment flooded the earth, what does his mercy do? If God's judgment flooded the earth with Noah, what does his mercy do? What does his mercy look like? It's so much bigger than a flood. It rescues, it leaves the 99, and it chooses you every single time. So Jesus, we just thank you that we are saved by your grace. We are saved because of the sacrifice that you made on that cross, not because of any single thing that we can do, could have done, or will ever do, God. It's all you. And we thank you that you are giving us the courage and the strength to turn around and repent, turn back to you, Jesus. Even if right now we don't feel like we have the strength to, you give us the strength. In our weakness, you are strong. Teach us how to turn back to you. Show us the brokenness. Show us the areas you want to heal so that we don't keep walking in destruction. Heal broken relationships that are represented here today, God. You didn't die on that cross for broken relationships. You died on that cross for healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you, if this message touched you, get into the book of Romans this week. You can't go wrong. You're just going to get deeper and deeper into what we talked about. And in about a month, we'll go face first into a deep end of a swimming pool on this message with Bill Vanderbush. It'll be great. All right? So be a witness this week. Listen, I want to invite Pastor Caleb, Pedro, and Alyssa, Pat, up to the front. If you are able to come up just for a second, if anyone wants prayer, listen, sometimes there are things in our lives that we cannot overcome on our own, and we need to actually get with someone. It does say confess your sins to one another. So if there's something that's on your heart, this is a confidential, safe space for God to move. So I invite you to come up to the front. Otherwise, be blessed. Don't get a sunburn. And be a witness this week and bring someone to a barbecue next Sunday, all right? God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.